Hi, this is Matthew Ketchum, your neighborhood friendly technology coach with the EdTech Coach's Corner. In this episode, we'll be speaking with Libby Garrett, who's with SEPA and the California Student Privacy Alliance. We'll be talking about a very important topic of student data privacy. So, as educators, we get very excited about EdTech tools, new apps, browser extensions. But we don't always think about what are those terms of services? What is the age appropriateness? And even more important, what are the student data privacy that these apps are following? So today in this episode, we'll be talking about what are the laws, what can we do better as educators, and what tools and resources are out there that we can see these information about the apps that we're trying to use in the classroom.
Everybody, my name is Libby Garrett, and I am the Resource Program Specialist for SETPA, the California Educational Technology Professionals Association. And my job is to provide resources and support to all of our EdTech professionals and educators within the state of California. So I work with programs such as CAMSA, Microsoft, Adobe, the JET Review Program, and of course, the California Student Privacy Alliance.
We're talking about student data privacy. Why is student privacy important for educators to be aware of?
So student privacy is important because our school districts house some of the most valuable data. We have systems that host an array of personal information about students, families, and even staff. And that makes it very vulnerable to ransom attacks and hackers and that sort of thing.
What could one do with student data that they obtained?
So as adults, we're always worried about identity theft and things of that nature. People, you know, we're always afraid that someone's going to impersonate us or steal our credit or our identity. But we don't really translate that and think about that as our students being vulnerable, and their information is probably more vulnerable than an adult information would be, because we don't think about that and we don't think to check on our kiddos and make sure that their data is secure.
So I remember one time talking with you, and you really enlightened me that we think about students, they don't even have credit histories yet, so their data is like pristine.
It is, and we, and I'm guilty of it too. As parents, we make sure that we're protecting ourselves and our credit and our personal information, but we don't really translate that and think about that from our child's perspective. And hackers and ransom, you know, attackers are very knowledgeable, and they're very aware of the fact that schools are housing that information, and also that we are, it's not something that we're thinking about on a regular basis. And so it's the prime, our students are the prime victim for somebody to come in and take their data, and we would never know.
And there are federal laws, state codes, and I thought I'd have you go through some of those that might be important for educators to know. There's FERPA, COPPA, PPRA, California Ed Codes, but I thought you'd share a little bit what they are and what they mean and those that educators should be aware of.
Yeah, so just like you said, we have in California and even on the national platform, a wide array of laws and education code, business codes that try to protect students and their information. And so we've seen laws around technologies in school and specifically around student data privacy evolve over the years as technology and data have become more prevalent in education. And some of the current laws that I'm working with the student data privacy piece are FERPA, which is the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. That's been around since 1974. So COPPA is another one that came out in around 1998, and that is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. Followed by SOPIPA, which is the Student Online Personal Information Protection Act, and that was enacted in 2014. But the one that really pulled all this together and put all the pieces together and really spoke to how we're using education and technology today was Ed Code 49073.1, but we commonly refer to it as AB 1584. And with that law, it was the first law in California that really specifically addressed how we're using technology today in education. And so it dictated that we need to have specific contracts with our service providers of technology services, such as educational software. It even addressed cloud and digital storage, as well as the management and retrieval of student records, and how we interact with those service providers and how those service providers are interacting with our students' data and how they're protecting it. So AB 1584 really spoke to the exact methods in which that we utilize technology in schools today and what we're doing to protect our students and their data privacy.
Your organization is doing, creating that California Student Privacy Alliance to be in line with these ed codes that you speak of. Do you want to share what that alliance is and what resources you have for educators?
Yeah, absolutely. So with all the new laws and ed code that were coming down in California, we were all having these conversations, you know, how do we make sure that our students' data and their privacy is safe? And how do we get into compliance with all these new laws? And so SEPA saw the need for a resource that would not only provide trainings and resources to educators in California, but also we realized that there had to be an easier way to collaboratively work together so that we can all be compliant with all the new laws that were coming down. So SEPA partnered with a group called Access for Learning, more commonly known as A4L. And they were already working on a project called the Student Data Privacy Consortium. And so they were beginning this project where they wanted to see a national effort throughout the nation to protect students and their data. And so California, via SEPA, joined up with that consortium. And California was the fourth state to create a state alliance with specialized resources, trainings, and a searchable database, which was a really, it was a really big game changer for how we were approaching these laws and contracts. And that searchable database allowed the public to actually go in and search the database to see which providers were safe to use, which were compliant. And the biggest piece of what we're doing with the alliance, we're taking all of these laws that we've just talked about, and we've created one contract that puts a school district in compliance with all of these laws by signing this one contract with a provider or a vendor. And the contract was very specifically put together with the input of school districts, service providers that service educators, advocates, and even lawyers who specialize in education and student privacy. And this one contract was put together so that we can pull all these pieces together and collaboratively work together to make sure that we're in compliance. But even more than that was to make sure that the providers that we're working with are promising to protect our students' data just as we would.
And definitely using that database has been so helpful, being able to look up apps, seeing what other school districts in California have done contracts with them, and seeing what apps are in compliance. Is it my understanding that even if you find an app in that database and you see other school district has contracts, it's in compliance, it's your individual school district that also needs to make that contract with that vendor?
Absolutely. So as you said, this is a collaborative effort, but what the database does, it allows each school district to not only be in compliance, but also to have that much needed transparency piece, as well as allowing the school district to keep an inventory of what providers that they're working with. So what that looks like to an educator, or even taking it a step further, what that looks like to a parent or a board member, you can go into the searchable database and quickly and easily get a grasp of what your school district is doing to protect your students' data. Who are they partnering with? What data elements are they pulling from each resource that your student may be interacting with? And so you have this free searchable database that it really drills down to give you that transparency and allows a really quick snapshot of what it is each school district is doing. The easiest way to get to our database is through my SEDPA homepage, and it is www.studentdataprivacy.net. So Perfect. On that homepage, you will find the link to go to the searchable database, the California Student Privacy Alliance homepage. But you'll also find additional resources, trainings that are coming up and available, as well as a step-by-step, how do you work through this process? What does it look like in real time to your stakeholders? And what does it look like to you as the educator? What does it look like to you as the ed tech professional? And so we offer trainings and resources in addition to the contract and the searchable database.
So you're there to help out school sites, school districts with this whole process.
Absolutely. So my job is the resource program specialist. I offer resources and support via SEDPA to all educators within the state for a wide array of things. But the California Student Privacy Alliance has really, I am the state administrator for that. And so it really has a special place in my heart because I truly care about, I'm very passionate about how we protect our students. I have my own children, and I can't even imagine having to work through finding out that your student's information had been sold or that your student's information was just freely available to, you know, anyone on the internet who, you know, was the highest bidder or something of that nature. So I absolutely have a passion for this, and I'm available to educators to answer questions, to offer training, to provide resources, and to help you through the process.
One of the neat things that this database also provides is a school district, as long as they have that transparency with the vendors that they're working with those student privacy contracts, it also allows their own teachers in that school district to see a list of allowed or compliant apps or ed tech tools that school district has those contracts with as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. So in the real world, you know, we send our amazing educators out to conferences such as, you know, Q and things of that nature. And they go out, they get really, really excited about all these new resources and apps and programs that we can use with our kids, right?
Yeah.
And the hardest part now with all these laws is we have to keep that piece transparent for our educators and our teachers as well. We want them to have the quickest access to all of these resources, but we also need to protect students at the same time. And so the database is searchable by anyone. You don't need an account. You just go into the searchable database and it's free to search and see which providers and resources have contracts. And you can easily see which providers are safe to use within a school district. So a teacher goes to the conference, they see a resource, and they know right away to go to the database to see, is this a safe program? Is this a safe resource? Am I going to be able to get this pushed out to my students quickly and easily because they have a provider who has signed the contract and who we know is a safe provider? But the other piece of that is our educators are very smart, and they want these resources available to their students. And if there's a resource that, you know, does the same thing of the resource they're really excited and passionate about, maybe one has a contract and one has not been vetted yet, they may choose to, you know, research this other application that they had no knowledge of previously, but it does the same thing that the one they were very excited about. And so it's giving our educators those options. But it's also allowing them to see the piece and be a part of protecting their students' data at the same time.
Yeah, I think you touched on definitely as educators, we do get excited about these really cool tech tools and apps that we could use in our classroom for student learning. And we're going forward with that, but we're not always aware or we don't always think about checking, you know, terms of service, age appropriateness, or now being looking at the database or the district's contracts to be compliant with student data privacy to make sure the apps that we're using in the classroom are compliant, and we do have those contracts with each of our districts to approve it in the classroom.
Right, right. And this is, it's a very daunting process for anyone that it's introduced to, whether it's an ed tech professional or an educator, even a parent. It can sometimes be hard for us to navigate those waters of what is a safe application for our child to be using, and what resources have been vetted. And so we're helping with that process by collaboratively working together throughout the state with school districts, parents, staff. We're working with superintendents on some levels, and CBOs. And so it's really everybody's job within a community to make sure that our students are protected. And we would feel that way if it was their physical protection, right? So
yes.
We have to also take that approach when we're thinking about all this valuable information that has been put out there in our student data systems, and these resources are asking for, student information. Why are they asking for that? We should be questioning that. Why are you asking for that if you don't need it? And what are you doing with that information? So just as we would protect our students physically, we really have to work together as a community and protect our students' data and their privacy. And their credit may not be of use to them right now, but how horrible would it be to find out, that their student information had been leaked, 10 years previous, and now they're going through this struggle as adults. So it's really all of our responsibility to make sure that we're protecting our students' data. And I think that they're dependent on us adding that piece into what we're actually doing. That being said, I come from a school district, and so I'm very familiar with the fact that we all have a lot on our plate, and we don't have time, a lot of time, to really delve into this. And so that's what the California Student Privacy Alliance and SETPA, that's what we're trying to provide. We're trying to provide an easy button solution to this so that our educators can focus and get their time back into the classroom and focus on what's important in teaching our students.
Yeah, I really like the database because the district and those leaders, they can go out and get those contracts from the vendors, have that transparency in your database, and teachers can go there and look to see what are the apps that are compliant I can use in my classroom.
Absolutely.
Now, I was talking with a teacher recently, and they were aware of student data privacy, and what they would do is they would go to look at the terms of service of that EdTech app, and sometimes there would be recommendations not used with students under 13, and they were going out getting parent permission to use the app in their classroom. Now, what does that look like with all of the student privacy? Addition to all of that, there needs to be that official contract with that vendor with your database.
Right. So our contract covers the laws such as FERPA, SOPIPA, COPA, PPRA, and AB 1584, some of the laws that we talked about earlier. That piece about getting the contract signed is in AB 1584. That is a state law that dictates that as educators, we have to have that contract in place for any service provider that we're working with. And that that ranges from cloud-based storage, digital storage, to even how we're managing and retrieving pupil records. So our student information systems even fall under that. And so this one contract is really easy for, as you said, ed tech professionals, CBOs, things of that nature, to put those in place for our educators to be able to easily and comfortably use a resource. Now, our contract does not cover SIPA. And SIPA is another law that dictates that the content that deals in the content, not so much the student data privacy piece, but the content that a student is viewing within a classroom, within a resource. And that's where anyone under the age of 13 may have to sign a parent, a release to notify the parent that the content is age appropriate and that they're aware of what resources the students are using. So that's a separate piece than our contract. However, within our database, we're trying, like I said, to make this the easy button solution for educators and ed techs and all these professionals within the education field. And so what we've done within the database, while our contract doesn't deal with SIPA, We have allowed and added a portion where if you have a resource that you have the California Student Privacy Alliance agreement, you can also upload your SIPA agreement, which would be your parent consent form. So we're really making the database easy for everyone to use, easy for everyone to see that inventory piece and that very clear transparency with our stakeholders, our parents, our board members, our teachers, our staff. To go to one location, you search the resource and find all the contracts that you need there.
And I've been going to ed tech conferences probably in the past 6 years, and a lot of these are really showcasing how to use the tool in the classroom. But I have noticed a change within the last year that there's more of a discussion from the participants when it's question and answer time of what is the student data privacy, what are the terms of service of this app. And I think there's becoming more awareness. What do you see vendors, how are they starting to respond to this in a better way to work with your contracts?
Absolutely. So two pieces to that I really want to make known. The FBI recently issued within the last couple months a public service announcement notifying the public that the data that we're housing within school districts is very valuable, but it's also very vulnerable. So, you know, you have businesses who are really protecting their information that they have, and schools are doing a great job of protecting that information. But we really have to focus on student privacy when the FBI tells you this is really important. And this is a really vulnerable area, and we have to protect our students. So for the FBI to put out that public service announcement was a huge piece, and I think that brought a lot of attention. Articles of that nature are bringing a lot of attention to the student privacy piece. And I also think that those conversations are starting to happen to the point that we're seeing a flex in providers with their flexibility, and they're changing even some of them how their applications are developed. And people are starting to become aware, you know, if it's information that's not necessary, you're using a reading app, why do you really need to know that student's grade level or that student's name, that student's teacher? Why do you really need to know their date of birth, their parents', you know, cell phone information? You really don't need that information. And so we're seeing a transition with providers and they're not just flexibility with this, but they're growing with us. And a good example of that would be, I came from a school district as a field technician. And when I started this process with the California Student Privacy Alliance in that capacity, I would get vendors that would say, no, I don't know what the contract is. I don't know who you are, and I can't sign that. And now we fast forward 3 years to now I'm in this position as the California Student Privacy Alliance admin. And so I'm on the phone with providers on a daily basis. And they're now emailing and calling me asking, we heard about this. How do we become a member? How do we partner with school districts to make sure student information is safe? And so I think that speaks volumes of over the past 3 years, those conversations that you're speaking of at conferences and things of that nature. Educators and ed tech professionals were really driving those conversations because the laws have been put down and we have to be in compliance, and vendors are being very receptive to that.
That's fantastic. What advice would you give to your teacher friends about student data privacy?
The big piece that I'm really passionate about is, you know, we go back to that old adage that it takes a village. It really does. And it's all of our responsibility to have a voice for our students, to advocate for us, and to really, it's all of our responsibility to protect our students. And so to some degree, we all have to be knowledgeable about the possibilities of student data being, you know, stolen and ransomware being put out there by hackers and things of that nature. When it comes to our students' data, this amazing, valuable data, every piece of information you have on a student is just sitting at a database. And so people are, you know, they can really, really take that information and do some horrible damage to our students. And so it's all of our responsibility to really focus on what our piece of that puzzle is and to help protect our students.
So I like what you said. We're we're protecting them here at our schools, but we also need to protect that digital world as well with our students.
Absolutely. We really, in schools, we've really used technology to further their education and to grow their minds. And the tides have changed, and we're using technology as the number one piece of education nowadays. You know, a lot of curriculum has even gone from textbooks that we were used to now it's all digital. And so we have to make sure that we're knowledgeable about what we're actually working with here.
Is there any other information or that you would like to share?
We're always updating the contract, and we're providing these services to educators and ed tech professionals, all in the name of protecting students. And if there's anybody who has questions or concerns, I really invite people to come to our webinars and our trainings. And you'll be able to find those dates at the studentdataprivacy.net page. And get involved, ask questions, and become knowledgeable about what your role in protecting students' data privacy really is.
And you've been so helpful with me reaching out to you and our school district starting to work towards being compliant. And so I definitely recommend getting in contact with Libby and working with her organization. I want to thank you, Libby, for taking the time to talk with us about this very important issue of student data privacy.
Thanks, Matt. I really hope to be able to help any educators or ed techs, parents, anybody who needs help or needs that clarification. I'm happy to help.